Let's read verse 1. It's a couple, it's more than that. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, and I pause again for a word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for allowing us to come together. We thank you, O Lord, for allowing your Son to leave the heights of heaven to come to this world of woe, to live and to die for us that we might be redeemed. Bless your word to our hearts. Please open our eyes that we may see the wondrous truths contained therein and guide us. Remember thy people gathered all around this globe at this particular time, remembering the fact that you sent your Son. He died. He rose again. So bless us as we read this word and teach us more from it. For we ask it in the name of thy Son, O Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Moreover, brethren, I beseech unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. After that he was seen of 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that it is not meet that I should be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace was bestowed upon me. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, because I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Look at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. The Lord will bless our hearts reading of his word as he has promised. God has been extremely gracious to mankind. The world refers to this period as Easter. In the King James translation, it is used once in chapter 12. But it was a translation of the word Passover that was translated as Easter. Easter is a strange word. And here I see the grace of God. It refers to the goddess of spring. And what has that got to do with me and as believers in Christ? But God has used this idea of Easter to emphasize a marvelous truth that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And we thank God for that. That God has used this attitude of the world to emphasize a marvelous truth. In effect, that God loves you. That God loves each one of us. That God loved the world. That he gave his only begotten Son. The fact of Christ's death has been prophesied in the scriptures. He was wounded for our transgressions, Isaiah said. And the next verse he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquities of us all. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. It's pretty clear. You see, the idea behind this do your own thing, I'll have it my way, is nothing new. But God has addressed it because my way will lead to hell. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. We've got to go God's way. I want God's way to be my way. That's it. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. My own thing, I'll do it my way. I'll please myself. Don't tell me. But God in his grace, and the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the Christ, the iniquities, the wickednesses, the rebellion, the pride, the sin of us all. And I thank God for this. Not only do we find his death prophesied in scriptures, but also the prophet David, we think of David as a king, but in many respects he was a true prophet of God. And in chapter 16, the Psalm 16, he said these wonderful words. Verse 10, it says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. This was quoted by the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2. So in the scriptures, not only his death was prophesied, but also his resurrection. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And we thank God for this. So Easter, as they say, Resurrection Day, as some people put it, has nothing to do with eggs and bunnies. Or if you were in Guyana, beautiful kites singing in the sky. It has nothing to do with those things. It has everything to do with the fact that Christ came. Christ died. And Christ rose again. A few months ago, the Sunday school kids here were talking about his coming. He was born of a virgin, again according to the scriptures. He was subject to his parents. Again, according to Scripture, because the Scripture says, honor your father and your mother. And I love to think sometimes when I think of honoring your father and your mother, you said, I'm no longer a child. You know, I'm a big person now. I can do my own thing. It didn't dawn on me until recently. The examples I sometimes use of Joseph listening to his father, Jacob, it was when Joseph was a leader in Egypt. And Solomon listening to his father, David, was when he was just about to enter the throne. So honoring, respecting, obeying does not apply to babies. It applies to all children. If you're a child 100 years old, it applies to you. And therefore, parents must be careful what they say. That at all times, those who are younger can look up to and honor them. But the obligation goes in spite of what our parents do. Care for them. So Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, was subject to his parents. Physical parents. And he was also subject to the one who sent him down from heaven. For to his physical parents, Mary and Joseph, he said, wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And as that father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Throughout the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, he always did what was right. He said, in all things he pleased the Father. And he did what was right. He said what was right. And the common people heard him gladly and flocked around him. But those who ought to know better either came to him by night or openly attacked him to the extent they wanted and their purpose to get rid of him. While some said, Hosanna to the son of David, they said, away with this man. Crucify him. And although Pilate at least 3 times said, I find no fault in this man, Pilate allowed them because of political pragmatism. He allowed them to take the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he heard the witness was not only king of Israel, but also a son of God. He allowed them to take him and crucify him. It was a shameful death between those two thieves. It was a painful death on the cross. But he died for us. And for the disciples, it was a most shattering experience. This is the one whom we expected would have been the ruler in Israel. This is the one who stilled storms and fed multitudes. This is the one who did all these things, yet he allowed the Roman soldiers and the religious skeptics and the religious to take him and to beat him and to slap him and to spit on him and eventually to nail him to the cross, where he died for our sins. The disciples weren't encouraged by that. They were afraid. They forsook him. They said they didn't know him. They were sorrowful. They went and hid themselves. They couldn't handle it. They forgot what he said. He should have prepared them beforehand by saying, I'm going to Jerusalem and they're going to take me and they're going to kill me.
And he said, this was according to the scriptures. He also said, but the third day, I'm going to rise again from the dead. They forgot that. And they were afraid and they hid themselves. There were some, however, who did not forget. For they had come to Jesus before and asked him for a sign. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, there shall be no sign given to this adulterous generation except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so or the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days in the belly of the earth. They didn't forget. So they went to Pilate and said, this deceiver, while he was yet alive. Very important statement. All those people who suggest the swoon theory can't fit there. Because they knew he was dead. While he was yet alive. And they quoted, after 3 days, I will arise from the grave. They quoted Jesus in Matthew chapter 27, verses 63. And so they said, set that stone there so his disciples can't steal his body. They knew. And they had a witness. But they couldn't keep the Lord Jesus Christ from rising from the dead. You see, they did not believe in the resurrection. For the soldiers came and told them, what happened? There was an earthquake. And an angel came and rolled the stone away. So you had two things that troubled these religious bigots. They had evidence from the soldiers of one, angels, and two, a resurrection. And they intended to cover the truth. Cover the truth down. They bribed the soldiers, but they could not deny the resurrection. Even as the apostles preached, having been emboldened by the fact that he is no longer dead, but he's alive. Having been emboldened by that fact, before the Jews in Acts chapter 4, they said that these people are preaching the resurrection through his name. Let me quote it exactly. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 4 says, and as they spake unto the people, Peter and John, the priests and captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people one and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They told them, do not preach in the name of Jesus. Why? Because by preaching in the name of Jesus, they're also preaching the resurrection. They could not deny the resurrection, but they preached, stop, don't preach in the name of Jesus. But it's important for us to recognize and rejoice in the resurrection. Why? One reason is, as we said earlier on, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. There's hope, there's salvation, there's safety, by simply accepting that word. This morning we referred to another very important verse that addresses the same subject. In Romans chapter 4, verses 25, it said, he was delivered up for our offenses, and he was raised for our justification. a word that simply means that we might be declared righteous. Would you imagine the grace of God? That He looks upon creatures like us who deliberately or mistakenly or foolishly do many things that are wrong and says, I'll declare you righteous because you repented. I love you. There are many reasons why the resurrection is important for us. Many reasons. For us, there's marvelous hope. Just passing on this one. He's the first fruits from the dead. You see, when Christ rose, it was not a case of Lazarus rising from the dead to die again, or Jairus' daughter being raised to die again, or Lydia to die again, Dorcas. But when He rose, it was never to die again. And for us, this is the blessed hope that we've got. That when you trust in Christ as He was raised from the dead, so shall we be, to be presented finally in His presence. You find that thought in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. But there's a very serious note. A very serious implication. A challenge to Christians and a warning to those who know Christ, that do not know Christ. In Acts chapter 17, Paul was speaking to the Athenians. And he said these marvelous words. He said in verse 30, and the times, you can read the whole portion, but verse 30 says, and the times of God's, of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth men, all men everywhere to repent. Because He's appointed the day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. Wherefore He has given assurance unto all men in that He raised Him from the dead. The fact that Christ is alive, unquestionably so, is that one day He'll return to judge. You need not be in that group before the white throne judgment as described in Revelation chapter 20. Check it out yourself. An awful time. But we can trust Him now and have the assurance that we shall never be separated from Him because we accepted the good news that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Shall we pray? Father, again, we thank You abundantly for Your grace, for Your goodness in seeing us as sinners, helpless and hopeless, and sending Your Son into this world to die for our shortcomings, our weaknesses, our folly, our sin, that we might have forgiveness and life everlasting. We thank Thee for the blessedness of Your resurrection, and we pray, O God, that we may be moved day after day to rejoice in what You have done and to tell that good news to all that we meet, that they too may have the peace of sins forgiven. We praise Thy name. We make these requests in the name of Thy Son, O Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Wronged it for me, wronged it for me. I think number 100 and 287.